Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tlamakia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
It's to Jones. He is sent to center field and deep. Going back is called on the warning track. To the wall. It is gone. Just cleared the wall in straightaway center field. Nolan Jones, another long home run. That's worth two. Two-run shot, 4-0 Rockies.
Old friend Nolan Jones, Colorado Rockies, going deep. Friend of the program. Great talking to Nolan. What was it, about a month and a half ago, a few months ago? He had just hit like a 800-foot walk-off home run. Well, he's keeping on keeping on. And he reminds us, you know, some trades are very important. The Rockies seem to get a pretty good trade in Nolan Jones from the Cleveland Guardians. But there's a lot of trades coming. You know why? Because it is a week out. Today is a week out from the trade deadline. We want to thank the fine people at FanDuel. FanDuel, thanks so much for jumping aboard our Baseball Isn't Boring Express, being part of the family, powering us through this, baby. So thank you. Also, thank you to everybody who has been going to these socials, at BB Isn't Boring, Twitter, Instagram, buying the gear. Our guest today, Brendan Nimmo, he walked out to our interview. Walked out to our interview in the dugout wearing a Baseball Isn't Boring t-shirt. They're catching like wildfire. All the cool kids are wearing them. Swing Juice, go to the at BB Isn't Boring account, Twitter account. Click on the link. Take you right to the Swing Juice page where it has all the gear, the sweatshirts, the t-shirts. Baseball Isn't Boring. Spread the word. There's no better way to spread the word than with a t-shirt or a sweatshirt. Or a beer koozie, whatever you want. But if Brendan Nimmo's doing it, you know it's a good thing to do. And you know what else he's doing? He's on this podcast today. Now, all right, the Mets aren't doing what the Mets wanted to do. Sure, they're seven games back. But let's push that to the side. Brendan Nimmo is in first place when it comes to podcast guests. This is the third time he's on the podcast. Always nails. When we first talked to him, in spring training, he was one of the best that we talked to about just breaking down what he thought the rules were going to be, what baseball was going to look like. So it was a great time to catch up, to come back and say, all right, is it what you thought it would be? Is baseball what you thought it would be? And he doesn't disappoint when it comes to his explanation. He also gives great perspective of just being a major leaguer. Being a major leaguer when he's called up, all the way through his journey and where he's landed right now. And with the trade deadline being a week away, he gives the best story that you're going to find, because there's not a lot of people who was traded at the trade deadline and then wasn't traded at the trade deadline and then had to figure out which team he should report to at the trade deadline. All of that. You remember this. Brandon Nimmo was traded for Jay Bruce to the Cincinnati Reds. Well, or was he? We're going to find out that story. It's a great story. And also, it's a great, honestly can't think of anybody better to paint the picture of the roller coaster that these guys are going through when it comes to trade deadline stuff. All right, here you go. Here's Brandon Nimmo.
All right, one of my favorites. I've been doing this since the end of the World Series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baseball's a boring podcast, but I've talked to you twice in spring training and once at Citi Field, and I was, like, I could tell that, like, you actually believe it.
I enjoy baseball. I enjoy it a lot. I understand, you know, why some people find it boring, but I think it's just because it's just like anything else. Like, if you just look at things from the surface level, I'm sure if you were to look at, you know, somebody who doesn't know much about art or anything like that, and you said, you know, like, hey, art really isn't boring. Like, look at all this stuff on that's on the, you know, inside of this that goes into each of these paintings. You know, that's not boring to people when they get to know it. But from the surface level, you know, they're like, I don't really get it, you know, and it seems boring. That's how a lot of people approach baseball. You know, they go to a game, and actually a lot of people love it when they go to a game.
Yeah.
But when they watch it on TV,
you know,
I get a lot of...
It's the best game to go to.
Yeah.
It's the best game to go to.
I think the atmosphere of a baseball game is amazing. I was enthralled with it ever since I was a young kid, when we went to our first game in Coors Field. I got a ball thrown up to me by the bullpen catcher, and I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And you know, I'd get my Dippin' Dots there, and I'd
ice cream in the future, yeah,
and get my pretzel, and we'd hang out in this beautiful weather. It means summertime, especially to kids, you know, from the north and the west, you know, where I'm from. You know, it brings about like good memories and good, like, good weather, like summertime. Like, that means baseball, you know, and
yeah,
they coincide with each other. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people, if they just watch, like, if they were to just turn a game on, never have been to a ball game, or just have never really had any interest in the sport, if they just turned it on and started, yeah, it would probably seem pretty boring to them because they don't understand the game going on inside of the game. Mm-hmm. And they also haven't been to a ballpark where you enjoy the atmosphere of it. And so I think it's a little harsh to say that, you know, baseball's boring.
No, it's not.
I get what they're yeah, saying, but when you get to know the game and you get to experience a ballpark and you get to really, you know, get changed by the experience of it, then I think their opinion would change.
What do you remember along those lines, like walking into the park? What you said, Coors Field.
Yeah.
So, I did this book that came out with Joe Kelly, A Damn Near Perfect Game, and he talks to Manfred. He does an interview with Manfred, and Manfred talks about this, about the first time he walked into a park.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a lot of people, and this park we're sitting right now, Fenway Park, for me, that was it. And it was like, okay, the green is never greener.
Yeah.
The uniform's never whiter. Yeah. What do you remember? I don't know how old you were, but...
For me, I got to go to my first big league game probably around, like, 8, 9 years old.
Okay.
And I just remember how grand it was when I walked in. I remember just you walk to the stadium, and then all of a sudden, you know, like, it's not Coors Field isn't necessarily like Wrigley or Fenway, where it kind of just pops out of nowhere. Like, Coors Field, you can see it from the highway coming in, and when you go, it's like it's the centerpiece of where you are. And I also commend them a lot, because at the time that I went, it wasn't in the nicest neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of a little bit rough around there. But as soon as you went into the gates, it was just grand and majestic, and like big arches, and then you walk out and there's this baseball field just sitting right in the middle of all
Isn't
this.
Isn't it cool, you know, how you remember that?
It just was an amazing you know, experience. And I was like, man, how cool is this that like people like these guys get to play, and like all these people watch, and it's such on like a grand stage, and what a great energy. And I just loved it. And you know, ever since I was young, honestly, since I can remember, I'd had a passion for baseball, and I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. And so when I walked through those doors, I was like, man, this is where I want to be someday. You know, and my parents, they always fostered that dream. Mm. But they always, you know, were kind of like, okay, but make sure to have a plan B. We got to make sure we're doing well in school. We got to make sure we're doing well in other things, because, you know, they always wanted me to reach for the stars, but they always wanted me to just have a plan B just in case, you know, of like something to fall back on. And but that's where I wanted to be, and I was like, all right, I want to, like, this is so where did, I want to be someday.
So was it what you thought it would be? Like, this is...
It was even better. It was even better than what I thought it would be.
Because, like, there's a build-up to it, obviously. Mm-hmm. This isn't the NFL. I mean, we just went through the draft, and this is, you know, that whole conversation about why the draft can't be the NFL draft, can't be the NBA draft.
Yeah.
There's a build-up to it.
Yeah.
When the build-up happens...
Oh, yeah. It was better than what I expected, because where I grew up, you know, in Cheyenne, Wyoming, there's not any structures like that. Like, you, maybe for someone who grows up in New York City, or someone who grows up in, you know, in Dallas, Texas, or something, you know, something like that. But for me, where I grew up, there's nothing like that stadium. There's nothing to compete with that. And so I didn't even have anything to really base it off of. And so it was so much better than I could have imagined when I got there. And then you had the good food on top of it. The sweets.
The per diem and the hotel.
So, you know, you add all that up. And my experience, my first experience at Coors was unbelievable. And I just remember it having a profound effect on me, and you know, looking forward to... We got to go about once a year after that point.
Okay.
Until I was probably 14, and then my schedule just got, you know, then it was... I had an older brother, I had an older sister. We were always at games, some sort of game, some sort of sport. And once I was becoming pretty, you know, competitive with it, it just became where we weren't able to make it to big league games anymore. So then the next one that I was at was in 2010 at Wrigley Field for the Under Armour All-American game.
Wow.
And got to play there. And I was like, man, you know, this is so cool. I remember thinking in the on deck circle, I was kind of anxious going up there, and I was like, man, this is, you know, big stage and big league ballpark. Like, this is so cool, but, you know, a lot riding on it. And then I kind of just thought in the on deck circle, and I was like, how many people get to do this? This is unbelievable that I get to be in a big league ballpark and play on a big league field. And, like, I've already accomplished, like, a small childhood dream by even just being able to play on, like, a big league field, you know.
So cool.
And so it really just relaxed me, and then I was able to play really well in the game. And, and you know, that led to where we are now. But I just remember... you know, there's nothing like a big league ballpark.
Do you remember, they do the social media teams are good for them, like doing the minor league managers telling the guys, right, hey, you're going to the big league.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so my manager at the time was Wally Backman. And he had called me into the office. We were in Reno, Nevada. And just finished the game, and this is 2016, and he called me in, and he just started the conversation by saying, you know, Brandon, he's like, the improvement that you've made from April until now, and that was June, has been one that I really haven't seen. And he said, I'm so proud of you, the changes that you have made and how you've been able to overcome adversity. And I was hitting basically under 200 in April of that year. Yeah, and I was rough. And by that point, I was hitting about probably 326 or something like that, somewhere in there. And you know, he was just complimenting me on the adjustments that we've made. And he goes, you know, sometime you're going to get called up to the big leagues and you keep doing what you're doing. And he said, don't change what you're doing down here. We play exactly the same way that you're playing here. He said, so now I've got the bad news. And he's like, well, what I called you to the office for is, you know how things work down here in AAA. We didn't have enough tickets on the flight, so you're on a separate flight, and, you know, you're going to be heading out but no big deal. You'll just be on a different flight. And I was like, yeah, that's fine, Wally. Like, I get it. I'm, you know, like, at the time, I'm 23 years old, and I'm low man on the totem pole. I get it. I'll go on the other flight. And I was like, but thank you. I appreciate you, you know, you saying those kind words, and I'll keep working and keep doing what I can. So I'm, like, on my way out of the office, and he says, like, right when I get to the door, he goes, oh, hey, Brandon, one more thing. And I was like, yeah, Wally. And he goes, by the way, that flight's going to Atlanta. And I was like, Atlanta?
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. And I was like, it took me a second. Like, I was like, Atlanta. And then I was like, oh, my God, that's where the big league team is. And he's like, yeah, you're going to the big leagues. And I was like, oh, my gosh. The team, you know, was waiting on in the locker room. They congratulated me. And I thought it was – I mean, I thought he did a great job with it.
Good.
It was it really caught me off guard. I did not think – you know, I didn't have, like, a suspicion that I was going up. And he really did a great job at it. And I really applaud Wally for that. It made it something I will never forget, even more so. And yeah, so then I was on a flight the next morning at 7 a.m. to Salt Lake City.
You're going to another big league ballpark.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to go, and it was really cool because I got to debut in Turner Field before they shut it down.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, worst lights in the major league.
Yeah. I didn't care at that time. But it was a really cool, really cool way to do it.
So we were talking about baseball not being boring and falling in love with baseball. The first time I talked to you in spring training, first of all, I think I told you this last time, I felt terrible. You remember why?
Why?
Because you had talked in length about how you had to learn how to slide feet first.
Oh, yes.
And then literally.
Yes. And then
two days later.
Yes.
I'm in Fort Myers.
Just, yep.
And I'm like, oh,
just going
man.
Down it's for a nice, head. Easy slide, catch the cleat, and thank goodness. That could have been way worse than it ended up. I'm so thankful for that because, you know, obviously this season that I've had, I've been working on a lot of things and seen some things come to fruition and been playing well. And that all could have been, stopped by that
but
point.
But the reason we talked about it was because we were all trying to figure out what baseball was going to look like,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So now as we sit here, X amount, it's baseball. What has looked, what you thought it would look like and what hasn't looked like what you thought it would
so there, there has been more. There has been more stolen bases. That's
you
for
even
sure.
Thought?
No.
You thought it was
so here, the caveat is there has been more stolen bases, but it hasn't changed the game as much as I was thinking. You still need to get a good jump. You still need. It's not like it's just there for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like you still need to have speed. Now, if you have speed, there are more chances to be taken, and people are stealing more. But it is not as easy as they were. You know, as they were making it out to be. Like people are just gonna be running all day long. You know, there are ways to defend against it. People are getting more used to it, to the picks and everything. And you know, I think that it definitely has improved that side of the game, but it's not egregious.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's good. You know, and then as far as the pitch clock goes, we're averaging about an hour or less than we were last year, and from a
you guys
like stamina,
as a team?
Yeah, I think so.
Really?
Yeah, we were 3.5 hour average
you
last
were?
Year. Yeah,
hour.
We were playing a lot of 4 hour games.
That's a lot of time standing around.
Exactly. So for me, we're saving like 100. Now, I'm sure it's probably like 45 minutes or something,
but it's
around there.
Yeah,
you know, where last time I had checked, and it was you know a month ago or so, but we were averaging like 2.5 or somewhere around there, 240. And last year we were somewhere around that 3.5 mark, 320 somewhere in there, and we had a lot of games that were near the 4 hour mark, and I'll tell you, it's saving 162 hours of me being on my cleats.
Wow.
That does help. I think that there's probably a happy medium in there somewhere where, you know, there's 3 more seconds added onto one of those mm-hmm. clocks, maybe the 15-second one or something, where sometimes after, like, fouling a ball off and the clock, you know, because it's different at every ballpark as well, like, you know, sometimes that clock starts right away
when
you foul balls off, and sometimes they'll give you an extra couple seconds. But when it starts right away and you're like, okay, so you know, I fouled that ball off. This is where it was. Okay, what's their game plan? What's my game plan? This, that. Oh, crap. It's 9 seconds. Like, you got to get in, right? Yeah. So sometimes I will say from, like, a hitting standpoint, there is, you know, a couple extra seconds that you're like, I wish I had it. But also from an outfield perspective and, like, a health and
You can safety, feel it?
I mean, really? Now, it is a faster game. Like, we're doing us, you know, I'm not running maybe quite as much as I was last year because I'm not on my feet as much, but and there's other factors into that, but it's a similar amount of running in a shorter amount of time. Mm-hmm. So you do have to be in shape. Like, you have to be
more so than
Whereas before it was more of like a like straight endurance, and just you have to be ready for that sprint after, say, 15 minutes of, you know, of kind of being a little stagnant. Now it's more of kind of going a faster pace, and that there's nothing wrong with that, but yeah, I think, you know, it does definitely save me, like I said, about 162 hours of not being on my feet, and that's big.
So, oh, can you feel like, so obviously fans, I think overall fans like it, right?
Yeah.
Can you feel it? It's not basketball, it's not hockey, mm-hmm. it's not football, mm-hmm. but can you feel like they're playing it, okay, you know, you're sort of, not only is it saving you time physically, but you're sort of mentally, you're on edge is the wrong way to put it.
Yeah, you're always up.
Right.
Yeah.
But can you feel that compared to other years that you played?
Yeah, I would say so, because you always have the clock in the back of your mind. Whereas before, it was always just the one focus was your plan at the plate, or what, you know, what's going on in the outfield as far as, like, what's my preparation for the next play, if they hit it here or there. Now you always have the clock in the back of your mind as well. And so it does kind of raise the attention, you know, a little bit more, where you're like, okay, doing all this, you know, coming up with this game plan and everything, but where's the clock? Because you don't want to get rung up on it. Because I think I have once or twice, I can't remember, I got rung up on it once.
Struck out.
Yes, and then I got a violation once.
Feeling,
yeah, it's a terrible
that must
feeling.
Be the worst feeling.
And the worst part was that I was in the box with 8 seconds. I just had brought my head up all the way, and so and the guy wasn't even real. Like, so it just was kind of like, oh man, that kind of sucks, you know. But anyways, you know, there have been pros and cons to it. Like,
do you think they should do it in the playoffs? A lot have been talking about now.
It's tough to change the game, you know, that you've been playing the whole year just because of playoffs, as far as, like, that goes. For me, I haven't really thought about it too much, and so I don't know.
I haven't either, to be honest with you, but it just came up, I think, a little recently.
You know, do you want – I guess the real question, I guess, to ask, because the players have gotten used to it, so yeah. The real question to ask is, does the league want a 3.5 or 4 hour playoff game, or do they want a 2.5 to 3 hour playoff game?
My gut is that it's sort of like with guys being mic'd up, which is, like, I don't mind guys being mic'd up, but you don't need mic'd up in the playoffs. You know why? Because the playoffs are the playoffs.
Right.
You know, that's, if you can't make people pay attention to the playoffs, what are we
exactly
doing?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that comes down to the league, because honestly, the players have gotten used to it's taken some time, but the players have gotten used to the clock, and it's just a part of the game now. And so I don't think it'll matter either way.
Speaking of getting used to things, I've been going around, because it's this time of year, and asking guys their experiences, guys who have been traded the trade deadline. I find it interesting. I've never been traded. I've never been traded the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a story. We had Anthony Kay.
Yeah. So I remember him.
Former Matt. He's talking about he got traded while going into a movie, and his wife's crying.
You know? Oh, yeah.
But, and you were, I think, part of a rumor.
Yeah,
right?
I was supposedly, like, it came on MLB Network, I was traded.
Okay.
Reds.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so, when was that? It was 2016, actually. I'm pretty sure. It was 16 or 17, and I had, I think it was 16, I had just debuted. And, you know, the Mets were looking to improve, and so they were looking at Jay Bruce. Mm-hmm. He was on the trade market. And the year before, they, you know, the Mets had done Cespedes and had made a big splash mm-hmm. there. And one of my good friends had been traded, Michael Fulmer. And I was on the trade block, rumors. And
You had the rumors leading up to
yep,
that.
Yep.
Yeah. So
and
you knew.
Yeah, yeah, I knew. I knew it was a possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so the day of, we're at the Westin because that's where they were put. They had put us up for it's down by Grand Central. For my family and I, I hadn't gotten a place, right? I don't know where my future is, so I'm just staying in a hotel, and that's where we're staying. And I'm with my family and I and my fiance at the time, and we're just kind of hanging out before the game, eating breakfast and whatnot. And you know, we kind of have MLB Network on because we know what's up, you know. And and you know, my name starts flashing up a little bit more with Reds and Mets. Looks like they're close to a deal. Could be these people. Or whatever. And then it just breaking news. And it was like, Mets trade for Jay Bruce for Brandon Nimmo, and I think it was Chris Flexen or something like that at the time. And so I remember being like, "Holy crap! Well, I guess I'm traded." And I was like. So then I literally was like, I better go to the field and start getting my stuff together. I said, do you guys want to meet me in Cincinnati? Like, and I said that to my parents before and my fiance before leaving. And they were like, well, we'll see. We were planning on leaving tomorrow. So, you know, I don't know if we'll come to Cincinnati, but we had like made plans. So then I go to the field and Ethan and Jay Horowitz at the time, they kind of said, like, hey, don't go in the locker room. We don't know what's happened yet. And I was like, you don't know what's happened. It's it's announced on national television. Like, what, you know? And they were like, yeah, we don't know. It's not through yet. Like, so I was like, okay. So I just literally sat outside the locker room and just waited. And then finally stretch was coming around for batting practice. And I said, do I go out? Do I go out to stretch or do
I
not?
You're just sitting outside the locker
room. Yeah. And they said, yeah, we'll bring you your stuff and you'll go out to stretch. So I had to grab my stuff. I go out to stretch. I come back from stretch and they said, and I learned that they've now substituted, me and Chris for, Dilson Herrera.
Yeah.
And it was just like, okay, so now I guess I'm a Met. So I went through this whole whirlwind of emotions where it was like, okay, the team that I've been with for, you know, that I just debuted with, that I was in their whole minor league system, I don't know anything other than this. You know, I had just kind of come to the realization that, okay, I'm going to another team and this will be a great opportunity to play and whatever. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the day, you're still with that team. And it was, like, announced on national television. It was like, how do I backtrack and be like, okay, we're in this situation. So it ended up being great because Jay Bruce ended up being a mentor to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That I use to this day. I use things that him and I would talk about. And he really took me underneath his wing and was so good to me. But it was a weird situation.
I'll be,
to go through.
Honestly, like, everything I've talked to, I don't know how many guys about this, everything you said encapsulates everything.
Yeah.
Like, everything about it, because it's the family element, it's the, like, the, well, they don't want me, but they do want me thing.
Right. Like, yeah, you're like, oh, well, it kind of sucks that the guys that drafted me don't want me anymore, but it's great that somebody else
does want me,
and they want me enough to give up Jay Bruce right now.
Were you Googling, like, the roster, the Reds roster?
We had played them not too long ago, I'm pretty sure, and I just kind of knew that, like, they were a team that was trying to get back on track. Mm-hmm. And so I would probably get the opportunity to play every day there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was excited about that because I was mainly used as, like, I played when I came up for like 2 weeks, and then I was kind of being used as like a platoon / pinch hitter. And that kind of ended up being my role for honestly the next 2 years, was being a pinch hitter. And I just had to get really good at that. And finally, an opportunity broke through in 2018 when Cespedes got injured and Lagares got injured. And I got an opportunity to play every day, and I fortunately was able to take advantage of that. But for the next 2 years, yeah, I kind of was just like that fourth, fifth outfielder that pinch hit every now
good
and
for
again.
You, man.
So it ended up being a totally different trajectory, but I was thinking like, okay, yeah, I'll get to, you know, play every day. So yeah, you do go through all those kind
I'm
of
trying
emotions.
To count how many trade deadlines there's been since then. I think six.
Yeah.
So you must view trade deadlines like,
well, I have a perspective from both of them now.
Yeah.
I have a perspective of 16, 17, I was definitely on the trade block. You know, it was something to be talked about.
So you went
about.
Through it again the next year.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Because 17 is when we went and got rid of everyone.
Yeah.
But that was the situation where I then got the opportunity to play the last 2 months of the year mm-hmm. and play on an everyday basis and kind of get to show, here's what I'm capable of for the next year. Now, you know, still, like I said, I came in to the next year with Cespedes and Lagares, you know, being ahead of me, but it gave me that I was there for that opportunity when it arose in 18 was because of the end of 17. So, I was in on that one as well. And then in 18, I didn't really have to go through much because I had done really well up to that point.
Sure.
I knew they kind of like, didn't want to get rid of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, the other years were, honestly, I can't even remember them. They weren't really too memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good player.
22, yeah. There was not really a, we were looking to acquire, not
right.
sell. And 21, I think I had just come back from like a hand injury, and so, you know, it wasn't too interesting to some people. And so anyways, yeah, I mean, now I'm sitting here, you know, we've got a no trade clause in the contract, so I'm not too worried about it.
So that's something, like, again, never had a contract.
Yeah.
That's something you said, hey, can we get this?
Well, yeah, my wife and I wanted somewhere that we could put our roots down.
Okay.
And we would have the choice of, we wanted to choose somewhere to kind of like stay. That's where we were looking for. That was what we were looking for, a little stability. Because
right.
baseball doesn't have much stability.
No, if you can get that.
Right,
man.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And we're happy to be here. You know, we love our ownership. We love, you know, what this team wants. This team wants a World Series, and that's what we wanted to be mm-hmm. a part of. Yeah, very fortunate to be on all sides of it, and so now I can give some perspective to some guys that are going through it.
I mean, everyone's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some guys are just like, I just have to put my head down and play. Some guys,
right.
I mean, their families are telling
right.
me, hey, did you see this? Did you
right.
see that? It's
yeah.
hard.
It is hard. And honestly, the best advice I can give is that first, like you just said the first time, is you kind of just have to take care of what you take care of, and you have to just focus on you. And okay, I'm going to make sure I'm taking care of my, you know, P's and Q's, and I just don't really pay attention to what hearsay is
mm-hmm.
because hearsay got all the way to like fact
yeah.
for me.
Well, they don't,
and it still didn't come through.
Hearsay,
you know,
doesn't usually go down that far down the road.
Yeah, right. So I'm like, listen, I was traded on national television, and it didn't happen. Okay, so like, you know, like that. Just wait until you hear from your agent and from the team that you're being traded. You know, so that's what the advice I try and give.
Well,
is try and leave the noise out of it.
Most important thing is you have a no trade clause and you have that T-shirt.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. All right. Thank you, man.
Perfect. Thank you.